Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Some people who have experienced a stroke are also left with a condition known as foot drop, or drop foot, which can really impede their walking and add to the rehabilitation challenges that they face. Well, joining us this morning to tell us more about this problem and a new clinical study being sponsored at Upstate is Dr. Margaret Turk, Professor of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation and Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Turk. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's start with talking about what is drop foot? What is it exactly?
Drop foot is a problem that we see with a number of types of disabilities. So someone is really unable to lift their foot, bend the ankle, and bring the toes and the foot up. So we see this commonly in stroke. We can see this in spinal cord injury. We can see this in cerebral palsy, spina bifida, which is a dysfunction of the spine in children. We can see it in people who have lumbar radiculopathies or low back pain. And the problem, of course, is that you trip, you fall, unfortunately sometimes break a hip, which is something that we try to avoid, obviously. But it can also get in the way of simple day-to-day activities, can actually give people back pain or leg pain. Sometimes the back pain is on the opposite side because it's trying to compensate. Sometimes then it brings on another radiculopathy on the other side. It can become a very significant circular problem for people.
So just so I understand, they can't flex their ankle, they drag their foot, so they overcompensate and they often maybe use their knee to raise the whole leg, and that changes the stride completely.
Right. We see a variety of compensations that people use. So they'll throw their foot out to the side, they'll bring their leg way up high, they'll hip hike, meaning that they really will push over to the other side and try to bring their leg around. And it's very inefficient. So people become very tired. For those who have seen or have family members who have stroke or some other type of disability, it's very clear that even when they are able to walk, that they're really not able to walk very far, and it's very tiring for them. Of course, good exercise might help that, and that's a good thing to think about, and there's exercise after physical therapy to think about. But nonetheless, there's only so far you can go if you don't have any support to the ankle to help bring your toes up.
And that's not necessarily something that just exercise can improve.
Correct. There have to be some other types of interventions that we think about. So the one traditional one that we use is a brace. And the most typical kind is one that is plastic and it fits into the shoe. And it is set in such a way that it both controls the ankle and it can help lift the toes. But it's pretty static, meaning it doesn't really move. It helps control, but it doesn't allow movement. It improves efficiency of gait. It more normalizes the gait. We might say that increases the stride length, as you had brought out before. And it just makes walking much more efficient. And, of course, it decreases the chance of falls. But with this technique means that you have to worry about your shoe wear. There's only certain shoes you could wear. This would be a particular problem for me since I really like shoes.
Yeah, and, absolutely. Me too.
Exactly. So you have to get a wider shoe, which then means that the shoe for the opposite foot doesn't fit often. So sometimes people actually buy two pairs of shoes. This becomes very expensive. The brace itself is expensive. Then you have to buy two pairs of shoes. And then let's think about children who grow. So a brace isn't going to last forever. Even in adults, a brace isn't going to last forever. You need to have it replaced. It also doesn't really help strengthen any of the muscles or promote any type of motor activity.
Well, that's, I think, the biggest point you made is that it's static and keeps that circumstance, that anatomical structure pretty stable, but it doesn't allow for any movement, which means wouldn't there be some muscle, you know, reduction of muscle capability in that situation over time?
Absolutely. And of course, that's the atrophy that people talk about.
Right.
And there's loss of range of motion at the ankle usually because when this is a problem because of upper motor neuron weakness, meaning there's been an injury to the brain or to the spinal cord, sometimes spasticity or increased tone kicks in. And then you can't bring the ankle up both because you don't have the strength to overcome that significant extension, which is where the ankle actually goes down into plantar flexion. So you lose that motor control, but then you're also forced into this extension pattern. So the brace holds it, but you don't then you're not able to really work on motor control to really be able to do some better motor learning. And what we've learned with rehabilitation interventions over the years is that you need to have an active program to be able to relearn or to find other ways of being to activate. Our motor system in our brain is redundant, meaning that we have a lot of different pathways that are there. Yes, children have more plasticity is what we call that.
They can keep changing.
They can
and growing.
Change more. But adults can too. The body is very, very interesting. In fact, even an older population that for years we have thought would not really be able to engage in many of these change-like behaviors, we really can see changes.
Well, that's hopeful. That means that we're all potentially growing, even though we may be growing old. We still have the possibility to improve, which I think is a positive and hopeful sign. But that leads us to the fact that even though the ankle brace has been a help to many, many people, it's insufficient. And in some ways, maybe even problematic, as you mentioned, because it leads to more static, you know, being static and limited movement. So that leads us to the new thing that you're working on, new treatment
That's
opportunities.
Right.
Tell us about those.
Well, we have for quite some time used what's called the Walk-A. That is actually the brand name for this one. There's another one on the market as well. But this is the one that we have used for quite some time. And what it does is stimulates the nerve at the side of the leg, the outside of the leg, called the peroneal. Actually, they just changed the name to the fibular nerve. To stimulate that nerve that actually brings the foot up.
So at a local level, you stimulate the local nerve. So even if there's damage up above in the brain, you're saying, or the spinal cord, you can really stimulate the local nerve to react.
That's exactly right. So you do have to have this intact nerve, which again is much more common in problems from the brain, so a stroke or cerebral palsy. You can have in spinal cord injury some intact nerve if the spinal cord level is higher than at the low levels. And so some lumbar radiculopathies may also be helpful, but this is more lower motor neuron, and that nerve may not be quite as good.
So you're saying, just to clarify, that there are some causes for the foot drop that would be less responsive to this kind of technology, but many, as you've described, like cerebral palsy or stroke, would be very responsive to this local stimulation of the nerve.
That's correct.
So tell us, what is this device? What is it? Is it fit around the ankle? What does it do?
Well, this device is much smaller than the brace, and the beauty of it is that you don't need to have special footwear. So it is a cuff that fits around at the right at where the leg and the knee come together, the lower part, and it stimulates the nerve. It's a battery-powered stimulator, and it's wonderful new technology, very exciting technology, that can actually, through the swing phase, can, through a tilt sensor and knowing just how fast things are moving, very high technology, can stimulate that nerve to bring the foot, the toes up, so that everything clears and then you don't have this foot drop.
So it basically, for all intents and purposes, eliminates the foot drop.
Yes, it does. And the other thing that it does is it allows a more active type of program. So you have active movement of those muscles in the front that bring the toes and the foot up. You can get some strengthening. You can get some very active motor relearning, which is that plasticity that we talked about before.
So you're really avoiding, in a way, it seems like the ankle device, basically, the earlier brace, really kept things in line, but in a way led to atrophy and staticity, whatever the word there is, but non-movement. And in this case, you're really allowing everything to basically continue to function as it would normally, but it requires external stimulation.
That's exactly right. And we've had some very nice success with it. The problem, of course, being that at this point, not all insurance companies pay for it. And in particular, Medicare does not pay for it for people with stroke. And that is the purpose of our study, is to try to improve the ability for insurance companies to see the value of this, even though it does have its expense tied along with it, but the value of this and to be able to support it.
But now the walk aid that you've just alluded to is an FDA-approved device.
Yes, it is FDA-approved. Absolutely.
So we know that there's basically it has been, you know, it's been vetted and it's a safe and effective treatment. The question here is, you're doing the study to gain more data to support how effective and valuable it can be in the treatment of stroke?
Yes, and in particular for certain funding agencies to pay for it, one of them being our federal government through the Medicare program.
So tell us about the study. How do people, you're looking for people to participate in this study, I guess.
Yes, we are. We are one of 30 sites in the country. We have about 20 subjects right now, and we're hoping to find another 10 to 15 more. And this will be a very, very large study in general. Over 400 people will be involved. And we will
at
get
this center alone you're looking for.
We're looking for 30 people at
here,
this center.
Here, and 400 nationwide.
Exactly right. So we will have a large amount of data that will take a look at not only how people with this device compare with people with braces in terms of walking, but also in terms of their improvement in quality of life, their satisfaction, which has very much to do with then people going out into the community, actually engaging in exercise and activity, which is very important for people with disabilities
and
in general.
And also will help them maintain their overall health so
Absolutely.
That they won't maybe develop other secondary health problems as a result of being immobilized or not being able to be active in a healthy way.
Right, and we probably don't have time to go into all of that, but that's absolutely correct.
So tell us how you qualify. There are certain participants who have to have certain characteristics in order to qualify. What do you need to have?
At this point, we're looking for adults only who have had a stroke at least 6 months ago. That way we won't have any interference from natural history of improvement. They do need to be Medicare eligible or have Medicare. There has to be some ability to walk, so walking without any type of brace, although one may be able to use a cane or a walker. Be able to have enough breathing capacity, so not having some of those secondary conditions, like pulmonary diseases or heart diseases. Not having had any directed therapy to the leg, maybe to the arm, but not to the leg, within at least 30 days.
When you say directive therapy, what do you mean?
Physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
In particular. Certainly exercise is positive, but not physical therapy. Being able to have the cognitive ability, or that means the ability to do all of the kinds of tests that we have, so filling out forms, answering questions, engaging in this study will be for an entire year. There are 7 visits, and these will be important for people to engage in.
Well, it's going to be a year-long study, and obviously you're looking for 30 people. So there's and it's being sponsored by Innovative Neurotronics, those the makers of the
yes,
of the,
that's
of
a
the
developer
device
and fabricator.
Okay, and if they want more information, they can contact. I have a contact here, Lynn Romeiser Logan. At Upstate Medical University, and they can call the study screening line at 877-318-7615 to be included in the trial. So I'm very hopeful that you'll get more people, because it sounds like this has the potential to really affect the quality of life of so many people who have been struggling with this kind of problem. Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Margaret Turk, Professor of Physical Medicine, Rehabilitation, and Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air.